Okay, hello, 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 everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Here We Go Again. As always, I am your host. My name is Emma, and Happy New Year, everybody. I hope everyone had a good Christmas. I hope everybody had a good New Year's, and I hope, well, we're now a good bit into January, I guess, so I'm a bit late on that. The start of the new year is going well. You know, classes are back, everybody's back on campus, exams are over, thank God. My thoughts and prayers go out to anybody who had any exams or assignments over Christmas and was working during them. Even more thoughts and prayers if you have a real job and you actually had to work over the holidays. My God, terrible. It's good to be back. Nice to be back with episode 3. As always, just before we get into the real topic of today's episode, I want to do my recommendation of the week. And this week, my recommendation is actually yoga classes. Anyone who has been around me throughout the past month or so will be rolling their eyes at this because they know that I have adopted this as my new personality trait and I have not shut up about it. But I always thought yoga classes were just kind of something for my mother to enjoy and didn't really understand what all the hype was about. And I've started going like once or twice a week. Oh my God, incredible. So good. Makes you really fancy yourself because you're moving your body and you're taking time away from screens and you really are just allowing your mind to focus on yourself. So you do come out of it feeling really, really good, but it's also not as like tiring as a like cardio workout. So I think it fits in really, really well to your day. Like there are a lot of yoga studios, obviously in London, and there are a good few on my commutes between home and college. So it's so easy to just stop off, go to a yoga class in the morning, go to one in the evening. Yeah, absolutely excellent. I know that's such a basic recommendation of the week, but I know so many people get like free classes and they do so many different offers and stuff. So yeah, would highly recommend if you get the chance to go to a yoga class sometime soon, just to give your mind and body a little rest, would highly recommend. And I would also like to take this opportunity to apologize to my mother for 20 years of making fun of her and her yoga. So yeah, turns out she was right. Crazy. So the theme of this week's episode is 2024, New Year, Same Me. And I know that literally every single podcast is doing a New Year's episode. And as always, I am not being very unique or original with my hot takes. I am going to do an ins and outs list, so either be prepared or turn it off now. For those of you still here, thank you. But yeah, I think the new year is such an interesting time. I think obviously having the feeling of starting fresh from a new calendar year, you're in January, it does feel like the perfect time to kind of start something new. But I also think a lot of that comes from having designated time over the Christmas break where everybody is off at the same time. Everybody gets some time to rest a little bit and a little bit of respite. And I think that kind of naturally lends itself to people thinking a little bit more about themselves and their goals. And maybe, I know personally, like when I go home for Christmas, there's so much more walking and cycling and exercise because of the change of pace in life. So I think Christmas break lends itself to being like, oh, I'm going to keep up these healthy habits in the new year. I'm going to keep moving my body this much. And we kind of forget that all the good things we do over the Christmas break are because we have been designated this time off. You know, we've been given this time to relax a little bit more. It's incredible what can come from that extra time and that lack of pressure and stress from other parts in our lives. And then I think we get a little bit down when all the pressure and stress come back and we can't maintain our happy, healthy little lifestyles. So that's kind of my idea for today's chat. I just want to talk a little bit about the idea of New Year's resolutions and the idea of like changing yourself with the start of a new calendar. So I think, now don't get me wrong, I am definitely somebody who is also victim to this. I love a New Year's resolution. I love to set some goals for myself. You know, I think it's really good to have something to look back on and kind of see how far you've come throughout a certain year, because a lot does change in a year. So I think it's good. And I also think it's a sign of optimism for the year ahead when people set New Year's resolutions and New Year's goals. You know, when people are like, I'm going to eat healthier, I'm going to go out more. Things like this, it shows a sign that you're looking quite positively into the year ahead, which I do think is very nice. I think the problems really come from when it's not set in as optimistic of a sense and goals are set as a way to put pressure on ourselves. I think come January 1st, everybody automatically is like, oh my God, like, what are you going to change about yourself this year? What are you going to do differently? What aspect have you decided that you want to leave in the past year? And that's not what it should be about. It shouldn't be about changing ourselves. It should be about maybe improving or elevating ourselves, you know? And I think that because January is a time of like this mass goal setting and this mass change, it can become quite toxic. You can get quite bogged down in it if it doesn't work out the way you want it to. Yet again, January kind of, it takes a little bit of time for life to get back to normal. So it's easy to set these goals at the very beginning of the month. And then as all the realities and the pressures and the time restraints kick back in, it's easy to let those goals slip away, and then you get really bogged down and you feel terrible about yourself for not being able to maintain them. It was the 12th of January just a few days ago, and I'm pretty sure that's like Quitter's Day, where most people give up their New Year's resolution. It's either the 12th or the 14th, I can't remember. But that's how long it lasts. And I think that's such proof that when our brains have a little bit of breathing room over the Christmas holidays, we get very optimistic about ourselves, as we should. But then we forget the impacts of kind of how tough day-to-day life can be and how much energy it does take just to get through your average week. So you shouldn't feel bad for maybe needing to adapt some of your goals as you go. I don't think January has to be the time to create the new you or anything, but I do think it's a good time to set some groundwork and to set the tone to be able to keep yourself accountable throughout the year. So I think the key for New Year's resolutions and starting them off in January is actually to start slow. I feel like so many times, and myself included, you come up with this goal and you go at it 100% for like 3 weeks, and then you burn yourself out before you can achieve it. If I wrote down that my goal was to run a 10k this year, I'm not going to do that in January. I can't run a 10k. There's no way. Like, that would take so much time for me to build up. But I can tell myself that I will start that journey and that I will set the groundwork in January. So you don't have to be doing all these big, quick changes, because there's no way you will be able to keep up throughout the year. If, for example, the 10K one, I'm not going to run a 10K this year. That's not for me. That's never going to be me. I wish I could be one of those runner girlies, but it's not for me. But I'm going to run with this example, no pun intended. Say you want to run a 10K by the end of this year, or a 5K, or you want to be able to run for 20 minutes. January is about getting into the habit of that. I think that's the key, because the hardest part about commitment is really, I think, getting into the habit of doing something. So if you eventually want to be the type of person that gets up at 6 a.m. and goes to run a 10K on a Sunday morning, that's fine. Start off slow, and in January, get up at 6 a.m. and run for 10 minutes. Run for 1 kilometer. run to go and get yourself a coffee round the corner. It's all about kind of getting into that habit of being able to get up early and get yourself out for a run. I think initially it doesn't matter about the distance that you're going, but it only matters that you're getting your brain used to trying to do this. I hope that makes sense. I know that everybody and anybody has been talking about New Year's resolutions this week, so I feel like I've been hearing a lot about them. And I definitely think the most inspiring ones, or the ones that make the most sense, are the ones who are taking it this way, starting off slow and planning on building up during the year, because I think that makes a lot of sense, and obviously that makes it feel so much more achievable. These big goals and these big changes, they're not just single steps. There's a lot of different parts to that process. I think once you can start to envision that, it makes the whole thing a lot easier. And that brings me on to my second point about New Year's goals. So I was listening to an interview last week with this like fitness and wellness influencer, and she was talking about New Year's goals as well. And she was saying that in order for goals to feel realistic, they should be three things. So she said that goals should be achievable, measurable, and traceable. And I think that was a really good one, because I definitely am guilty of not doing all of these things. So achievable obviously kind of speaks for itself. If I wrote down on my New Year's goals list that I was going to do an Ironman this year, that's not achievable. I'm not going to do that. How long is that? Like 50 kilometers or something? And you have to swim and cycle? No, like that's not achievable for me in 1 year. That's step A. Doing something that you actually genuinely believe that you could achieve. Not something you could achieve if something else about you were to change drastically, but something that you could realistically see yourself working towards. Second, measurable. I think that's kind of the idea of a lot of people don't want to commit themselves too much when writing New Year's resolutions, and they, rather than putting down a like tangible amount for something, they just say, oh, I'd like to improve. So like, rather than saying like, oh, I want to read 50 books this year, some people would just say, I would like to read more. And obviously then that's so difficult to measure. You know, what are you considering like improving your reading? What are you considering as reading more? So that makes it more difficult to almost see your progress and see whether or not you're achieving these goals. And the same thing with traceable. I think you have to be able to see a tangible level of progress throughout this journey. And again, bringing it back to the running example, I think traceable is a good idea for slowly improving your distance every week or every 2 weeks, even if it's just by another 100 meters, even if it's just for another minute. I think then as you make your way through the year, you'll slowly but surely start to see real improvements, and you can actually physically sense yourself getting closer to your goal. So I thought that was a really interesting one. It definitely made me reevaluate a lot of the goals that I had personally set for myself and kind of try to rethink them and restructure them into this more achievable, measurable, and traceable way. So that's kind of my two cents on the idea of New Year's resolutions and goals. I think they're a great idea. I think they're a great sign of optimism. But I think sometimes people can get a bit too bogged down about them if they're not immediately seeing progress and improvement towards them. You know, a year is a very long time. You have so much time to achieve your goals, and you have so much time to work towards them. So even if you're not seeing progress now, in 2 or 3 months' time, if you keep working at it, no doubt you'll see progress. So now for my ins and outs of 2024. I know that this trend has been absolutely beaten to death. I know it. So many people have done it. Everybody I have heard on the internet is talking about their ins and outs for 2024. I know it's such a trend at the moment, but kill me. I want to jump on board. I have my own opinions, and I would like to let you guys know what I think is in and out for 2024. So there's somebody DJing next door. and it's very good, but I wonder, will the audio pick it up? Who knows? Okay, well, we'll move on. So my first in for 2024 is hobbies. I think a lot of people who I've talked to have kind of said that at this age, it's kind of almost, a lot of people just tend to not have hobbies. You know, you go to school, you go to college, you go to work, maybe you go to the gym, but that's kind of it. You don't have a hobby in the same way that when we were younger, we would have so many different hobbies. And like Wednesday would be music day and Thursdays would be football. And you would have all these different hobbies and all these different interests that would keep you going. So I think 2024 is definitely the year of the hobby. I'm looking to pick up some hobbies, to find something I really like. If anyone has any recommendations, please send them my way. I also think hobbies are just a great thing, again, to keep your mind kind of occupied, you know, not looking at a screen, not scrolling through TikTok, something unstressful, not that heavily committal, something that you can just relax and enjoy and that makes you feel a little bit more like you. So yeah, bring back the hobbies. 2024, bring back the hobbies. My first out of 2024 is impulse purchasing. This is kind of a personal one for me. Says it all in the name, doesn't it? I am a terrible one for panic buying something, or buying something because it's on sale and I think it's a good deal, or not really thinking through how I would use this if I own it. You know, and that kind of goes for everything. That goes for clothes shopping or shopping for different just bits and pieces of like furniture and stuff. It goes for like hair care products, skin care products. It even goes for food shopping. Honestly, if I go into a Tesco without a list, I will impulse purchase different ingredients and then I will not use them. And I will not use them at all. So no more impulse purchasing in 2024. I'm going to start being a conscious consumer and I'm going to really start thinking through everything that I'm buying. Kind of related to that, my second in is meal prepping. Meal prepping is something that I just think is excellent. I think it's so impressive when people are on top of their meal prepping and they have like 5 Tupperwares of lunches and dinners for the week, and they're these beautiful multi-component meals and everything looks great and tastes great and they just have to stick it in the microwave and they are nourished. I think that's excellent. I think that's something we should all be on board with for 2024. Meal prep is in. No more panicking about what you're going to make when you get home from the library or home from work. No more instant noodles in a panic. Meal prep is in. We are nourishing our bodies in 2024. We're eating vegetables and complex meals that fill all the sides of the food pyramid. My second out related to this is letting food go moldy. I just think it's so humbling. It's so bad when food goes moldy. It's terrible. You know, forgetting about something you've made in the fridge, leaving something open for too long, forgetting about like that open bread that you have in the cupboard and having to see it 3 weeks later when it's all blue and fuzzy. No. No. Letting food go moldy is out. A lot of these so far have been related to like conscientiousness about food. I think I just have to be more aware of what's in my fridge, to be honest. I think that's really what we're hearing about this. Okay, moving away from the food. The third in is wearing mixed metal jewelries. I know this trend kind of took off a bit towards the end of 2023. But I'm really hoping it comes in a lot more for 2024. Personally, I am a girly that wears a lot of gold jewellery. Most of my things would be gold, but like all the coolest rings are silver. And I'd always stop myself from like looking at them or getting one, even if I really liked it, because I'd be like, oh no, I wear gold jewellery, so I can't buy this silver ring. What? Like, who cares? Genuinely? Who cares? Wear 2 different colours of rings. Wear 2 different colours of jewellery. It truly doesn't matter. I just came to this realisation one day where I was like,
Who's keeping track? You know, we wear other colours together all the time, so why not gold and silver? Yeah, mix metal jewellery. Mix your jewelleries, girlies and guys. Wear the cool silver jewellery. Wear the cool silver rings. Wear the cool gold rings. Wear one of each. Who cares? I've really realised it's not that deep. So mixed metal jewellery is in. Wearing mixed metal jewellery is in. Oits, very passionate about this one. Not carrying an umbrella. Just embarrassing. Especially in London. It rains all the time. Why do you not have an umbrella? Like, if it's raining and I'm watching someone get soaked, I'm like, why? Like, this can't have been a surprise to you. The rain cannot have been a surprise. It's winter. It's always raining. Why are you not carrying an umbrella? And I think that about myself too, when I get caught in the rain without an umbrella. It's just so... You never regret carrying your umbrella. You're never like, oh, I didn't use my umbrella. God damn it. I should have left it at home. You're always like, oh, I didn't use my umbrella. Thank God it didn't rain. Not carrying an umbrella, inexcusable in 2024. Carry an umbrella. It's not that difficult. They're quite small. They sell them literally everywhere. They will fit in your bag. It will fit in your coat. I would also, however, like to say that I actually don't own any coats with hoods. So if you have coats with hoods, you are excused from carrying the umbrella. But that's not me. So no hoods. Get an umbrella. It's ridiculous. That was a very passionate one. My fourth in is sober curiosity. I hope that that's the right term for it. I feel like it might not be. But basically, in my mind, what I mean by sober curiosity is kind of wanting to have more of a non-drinking lifestyle. Personally, I've gone from not drinking to drinking a bit, to drinking again, to not drinking, and all of these different things over and over again. And I just do think it's not one of those things that you necessarily have to be like hard and fast about. You don't have to cut off all of your drinking all at once. But I think it's okay to maybe cut it down a bit. You know, if you're going out for just a few drinks and you're like, ugh, I really don't feel like it. Like, I don't feel like the headache in the morning. I'm in a good enough mood. I don't really need drink. Like, get a mocktail. Get a 0.0 pint. Get a glass of lemonade. You know, you'll save yourself the money. You will save yourself the hangover when you don't want it. But then the next time you want, say, a glass of wine with your dinner, have that. You know, allow yourself a little bit of wiggle room with alcohol in whatever regard. If you want to take a little bit of time off, take some time off. And then have a drink when you really, really want one. You know, have your glass of white wine, have a margarita. I love margaritas. I think they're so fun. But I also don't overly enjoy the idea of like being drunk. So it's an interesting balance, and it seems to be becoming more and more popular. There's a lot of non-alcoholic options now. So I don't think it's the type of thing that really makes you stand out in the way it once would have. And then my final out of 2024 is tabbies. I genuinely don't know if this is a controversial one. I see them everywhere. For anybody that doesn't know what tabbies are, they're those shoes that all the little like fashion girlies and boys are wearing, and they look like horse feet. That's like the only way to describe them. I think they're so ugly. I genuinely think they're terrible. I don't get them. They don't look comfortable. I don't think they look cool. They don't look fun, like fully exposed by themselves. They don't look fun, like peeking out of a long trouser. I think they're so ugly. Please leave your tabbies in 2023. Please leave them behind. Get a new shoe. Get a new shoe for 2024. Nothing can be as bad as the tabbies trend. Truly. God honest. Please leave your tabbies behind. There's not even that much more to say on that. I just dislike them so much. I don't judge a lot of fashion choices. I think fashion is very personal. I think self-expression is very important. Tabbies are the one thing that I just cannot get behind. I have never seen someone wear them and be like, oh, actually, they're rocking them. like most other trends. Like other ugly trends, you see someone do it and you're like, oh, they've actually done it very well. But tabbies, I just don't get it. I just do not get it. Maybe I'm missing something. If I'm missing something, let me know. But no, it's not for me. Then my final in, which kind of contradicts my whole tabbies are ugly thing. My final in is ugly outfits are better than boring outfits. So I think this applies in kind of a sense of, not that I'm hating on boring outfits. I love a plain and simple outfit. Some days they're very necessary. Some days they're needed. And they do well. They're staples. But I really like the idea of kind of pushing your boundaries a little bit more in terms of self-expression. And even if something is a little bit ugly, still liking it. You know, I think that's a big trend with this, like, I can't remember what it's called, with the trends with like the football shirts and the big baggy trousers and the Timberland boots. You know, all these like teeny tiny little girlies dressing like in all their oversized and baggy clothes. And it is objectively quite ugly, but they look cool. They look cool in it because they're confident enough to pull it off. And I think it's really nice. I think we're definitely seeing more of a divergence of like self-expression within a lot of fashion. And I would hope to see that improve in 2024. But yeah, don't be afraid to wear an outfit because you think it's like a little ugly. I just think rather a little ugly than a little boring. That's kind of my rule of thumb. You know, be confident, have the confidence to pull it off, and no one will think twice. You are the person that cares the most about what you're wearing. So guys, they are all my ins and outs for 2024. I hope you agree. I hope you enjoyed. And hopefully I haven't missed any. I'm looking forward to looking back on my list in a few months, or maybe at the end of the month or at the end of the year, and seeing what actually stayed in and what actually stayed out. You never know, maybe I'll become a huge tabby lover. But yeah, thank you very much for listening to me. This has been great fun. Enjoy the end of your January, everyone. Have a good day, have a good evening, have a good week, and I will chat to you next time. Bye.